While you're standing, and thank you all for coming this Tuesday night. I hope your turkey's not in the oven, because I plan on preaching a couple hours tonight. I never do things I plan, though. So Hebrews 8:8. Thank all y'all so much for... I like jam session singing. Y'all like that jam session? I like jam session playing and singing. You take a round, I take a round, and you mess up. That's just part of it. Hebrews 8:8. For finding fault with them. This is the book of Hebrews, the book of betterment. When you read the book of Hebrews, it's all about something better. A better covenant, a better day, a better way. So he found fault with them. He saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new, a better covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, meaning with my people, which you are tonight. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. I let them die in the wilderness. I took them by the hand and brought them to the land. But they didn't regard my covenant. They doubted me, and so I turned them back. So we read in Joshua now. This is Joshua is fixing to cross over, and there's two spies there that have kind of been trapped, and they find themselves now in Rahab the harlot's house on the wall of Jericho. There, she's living on the wall. This is a huge wall, and she's living on the wall. And she said unto these two men that were there spying out the land, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. I know that. And that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. He did that for you. Your God did that for you when you came out of Egypt. And what he did unto the two kings, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, of Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Y'all weren't even warriors. I don't even know if y'all had a knife with you. But this God that you're serving, my, whoo, he's powerful. You destroyed, the Amorites were like the toughest of all of them. You destroyed what we couldn't destroy. And as soon as we had heard, somebody say this with me, as soon as. As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. I'll give you my title. You won't catch it till later, maybe. What took you so long? What took you so long? Rahab is asking them, what took you so long? Lord, I come before here, these people tonight. I ask them this question. What took you so long to get here? In Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. He found fault with those, not because of their wicked ways. They were a stiff-necked bunch of people. It was because of their pulling back. I have raised two kids, and from time to time they didn't want to come, so I got them by the hand. I drug them. I'll never forget, and I've told you all this before, but I still, every time I think about that, I see this lady coming out of Albertson's one time, and her little boy stopped at the gum machines, and he wanted to get something out of the gum. He said, "Mama, Mama," she said, "let's go. Mama, 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 give me a quarter gum. Let's go." And finally, he wouldn't go. She went over there and picked that. This was a stout lady now. She picked that little boy up, his feet just doing like this. You know, she got him like walked out, that little door opens. You know, she just walks out holding him like this. Took him by the hand. Said, "I took him by the hand and led them out. I dried up that Red Sea." Said, "Y'all go, come on, let's go. I took them by the hand. I did for them what they couldn't do themselves." And we crossed over on the Red Sea with dry land. But somehow, when I got them to the land, I held their hand all the way. But when I got them to the land, they let go of my hand. I got them right to the place of entering into my promise, that all of a sudden I looked and they weren't holding on to me anymore. I was trying to hold on to them, but they weren't holding on to me. I had brought them through the Red Sea. I held their hand. Even they got water out of the rock. They got food from heaven. I got them all the way through here to the edge of victory, and all of a sudden they turned on me. Like I'm not able to finish this off. You know, when you read the journey that they took, it's estimated that it took them about 2 weeks to get across from the Red Sea, once they crossed, to the brinks of Jordan. 2 weeks, the first time. They could have gotten there sooner. Read the book. It says it could have gotten there sooner. But he would have had to take him by the way of the Philistines, and they would have seen blood. And he said, "There being not men of war, when they saw blood, they'd want to go back." There's a lot of things God spares you from that you don't see. And you say, "Well, Lord, this is taking too long." Just you better thank God it's taking too long. He could have got them there in a few days, but you look at their journey, and the shortest route was not the route they took. You look at a map. But he took them just a little bit out of the way so that they wouldn't want to turn back out of the way. And so your journey may be taking a little longer to get what you think life ought to bring to you or whatever, but he's going to get you there, and it's going to be soon enough. And so they crossed this Red Sea. They got to the land where they could see the land of Canaan, and they got turned back. But when they crossed the Red Sea, Rahab the harlot is letting us know, as soon as, I had you say that, didn't I? There was a reason. As soon as you crossed, we heard. What took you so long? Because this is 40 years later. As soon as we heard that you had crossed the Red Sea, that your God had brought you across the Red Sea, and your God's hand was upon you, and that you fought, y'all not being warriors and us being warriors, and we heard what you did to the Amorites and the king of the Amorites at Mahon and Og. Woo! We said, "We're next. We better run now, because their God is able to deliver us into their hands. We're no match for their God." When we heard what God was doing for you, we thought, our goose is cooked. We'll be their turkey sandwich come Thursday. But she said, "I'm a little confused." And I'm kind of adding here. Because right when y'all got there to coming over, and our hearts was just, we were shaking in our boots. Y'all didn't come. Now later I remember there was a few of y'all came over, but the Lord wasn't with them. Do you know that story? Some of them said, "We're going to go over anyway." And Moses said, "I'm not going. Y'all go, but I'm not going." Because once they heard that they were going to die in the wilderness, they said, "Oh yeah, we're ready to go now. We might as well die over there as to die in the wilderness." And the Lord said, "I'm not with you no more. My hand and your hand, we're not together anymore. You let go of me." And so they were turned back. She said, "You know, at that time when we first heard, we were shaking our boots. But now you got to conquer us. We were ready to run at one time. What took you so long? Y'all getting this message tonight? What took you so long? It took you 40 years to get here. We're not quite as scared of y'all as we was back then. Jericho was shut up straight. The Bible says none going in, none going out, but we're staying here. The Lord, when He's with you, He can take four lepers that are diseased and make it sound like an army's coming. You know the story. And they fled out of the camp. When the four lepers get there, said, look at all the men. Let's finish cooking that turkey. Because it was on the fire. They had bread on the fire. They just took over. That's what the Lord does when your hand's in His hands. But what's taking you so long? I'm trying to help you. What's taking you so long to get there? Doubt crept in. Unbelief crept in. Worrying crept in. Let me tell you. She said, we're not afraid of you. We're afraid of your God. Because some of y'all came across without your God, we beat them. But if your God would have been with you, we're scared of your God. But now you're going to have to do something to make us leave. I know the land belongs to you, and I know all of that, but they're not afraid of you like they were. And I'm just kind of adding what I think here. We're not afraid of you, we was 40 years ago. You know, 40 years ago, I was a little girl. Now I'm an old lady. What took you so long? I'm trying to help you today. What's taking you so long to find peace with God? What's taking you so long to walk into the promises of God? God's going to get you. Yeah, there's a little wilderness you got to go through. Yeah, but here you are how old and you still worry? Here you are how old and you still, everything you got staying behind you, nothing you own you're taking with you, nothing, and you still worry. You've never entered into His rest. That tells me you've never entered into His promise. Because when you enter into His promise, He's always promised rest. The land of promise was a land of rest where you'll drink water from wells you don't dig. That's work to dig a well. You're going to eat chestnuts from trees you didn't plant. That's work to plant chestnuts and oranges and pick all them oranges. Right, Sister Orange? It's work. It's work to build a house and say, we finally got it. Brother Pam and Sister Richard, Sister Willie over there, they ought to know. Finally got that house we built. It's work. And now you're like, well, we better insure it now. You know, now you're paying more insurance and now you're all this stuff. Worrying about it. What's taking you so long to find rest with God? Hebrews 4:1 says, let us therefore fear. He's talking to the church. The writer of Hebrews is talking to a church. He says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left to us of entering into His rest, any of you seem to come short of it. That's what they did. That's exactly what they did. They came right to the edge and went back. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not mixed with faith in them that heard it. What did I tell you faith is? It's rest. When you really have faith, you rest. When you really have faith, you quit worrying. You cease from that. When you're worrying and you're all nervous, you don't have faith. It's that simple. For we which have believed do enter into rest. You got it? We which do believe, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's certain I brought nothing in this world. It's certain I don't bring nothing out. For as He said, as it is written, in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake of a certain place on the seventh day. Oh, watch this. We're going someplace tonight. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day. On this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of His works. He rested in His works. And in this place again, if ye shall enter into my rest, enter with me. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. Some of you have not got there. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. If you really think everything's going to be all right, why are we worrying? If you really think all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord according to his purpose, why are we losing sleep about it? Again, he limiteth a certain day. He goes at it again, saying to David, today is after so long a time as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts with unbelief. For if Jesus hath given them rest, then would he have not afterward have spoken of another day. Now this, watch this little verse. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. No matter what's going on in your life, rest should remain. Take away my job, I still rest ought to remain. Doctor's report, bad, I understand, but you still ought to have rest in him. They got right to the promise of entering into his rest and didn't enter in. When even God rested, And I want to give you another little illustration tonight, if I could. We're going to go through the because he talks about this seventh day and entering into rest. And he's telling some of y'all hadn't entered into rest. I'm telling you, some of you hadn't entered into rest. Hadn't entered it. Not there. When you should be. And so let's look at, because he grows back. He talks about David. He talks about creation. He talks about the children of Israel. So it must be important that you have to enter into it. In other words, it doesn't come to you. You got to go to it. You got to work to get there. And so on the first day of creation, the Lord said, let there be light. You want, come, be the light for me. Come on. Stand right here. I want you to be day one. You're day one. Day one. You're day one. And I preached a sermon one time called, let's see if I can remember the name of it, Creation by Separation. Anybody remember that? It was last week, surely. No, it was Creation by Separation. Because what the Lord did, everything was already, he just began to separate it out. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And he separated the light. And he said, let there be light. And you know what? After he got through with the light, he said, this is day one. The evening and the morning was the first day. And the Lord said, you're looking pretty good.
Thank you.
It was good. He said, it's good. But I'm not finished yet. It's good, but I'm not finished yet. So on day two, he began to separate. You want to be the waters? Come be day two for me. You can be the waters. On day two, he said, I'm going to separate, divide out the waters from the waters. Take your place, brother, day two. And he divided the waters from the waters, and he made a firmament with the waters above and the waters beneath, where man was going to ultimately live between the waters, because that's where we live, between the waters. And thank God for the clouds up there and the water beneath. And he looked at day two, and he said, you're looking better than day one. It's looking better all the time. Day two, you're looking good. But I'm not finished yet. I'm still working at it. We can't stop here. I'm going someplace. So on day three, he said, Rocky, you can be day three. Come on, Rocky. Day three's coming. Well, here comes the sun's coming up in the morning. He said, I'm going to divide now the waters from the land. And so he took day three and he divided the waters from the land. I hope I'm right on all this. Aren't you the land? Okay, you're the land. It's day three. There'll be light. Day three, waters, and waters from the land. Day four. Yeah, that's right. Okay, and then on day three, he said, you're looking good. You're looking better than day one and two. I'm proud of day three. She's proud of day three. Amen. Good old day three. But I'm not through yet. You're looking good, but I'm not through, you understand? So on day four, he said, Brother Lowry, he said, I got to divide out the lights. So you can be the lights because I got a sun and a moon. And no, that was the light of God that came through. They divided the evil and the, yeah, this is the, that's a good point, but we don't have time to mess with that. And so you're going to be like the sun and the moon and all that. He divided that out. See, it's a division thing. And he said, you're looking good, looking real good. In fact, you're looking better in day one, two, and day three. But you know what? I'm not finished yet. So I said, I got to go to day five. Because on day five, let's see, what am I going to do on day five? Oh, yeah, that's right. I got to create the fowls of the air and the birds and the fish. We're going to separate the kingdoms. We're going to separate the animal kingdom from the plant kingdom so that the seed is within itself. So there would be the plants and the herbs would come, and then you'd have all of the animal kingdom. And he said, Brother George, you can be day five. Isn't he looking good? You're looking real good. Tell him I look better than you. And you tell him I look better than you. And you tell him I look better than you. And you tell him, no, you say, what's wrong with me? And you're looking good on day five. You're looking good. You growing okay? Everything yes. growing okay? Yes. All right. And then after, but I'm not finished yet.
I like the animal parts.
Yeah. So on day six, the Lord said, I'm going to create man after my own image. So he said, Whitman? He said, I need me a man, a real man. Come on, man. Whitman. It was Adam. This is Whitman. And he said, woo, I'm proud of Whitman. You're looking really good. He's telling me I'm looking better than you. And day six was glorious because he was made in the image of God. So there was no division other than he wasn't like all the other animals. But he wasn't separated from God. He was like God. Right? And when the Lord had created all of these, he backed up and he said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is very good. He added them all together and he put that adverb there. This is very good. I think I'm finished. There's nothing else to do. I think I'll rest. So he called the seventh day a day of rest. You won't be day seven? Get in your place, brother.
I look better than I was six, seven,
but I'm doing the preaching here, brother. So he had day seven, and he called it a day of rest. Did I have a scripture I gave you about that, about something about him sanctifying it? And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work. See, he worked to enter into his rest, which he had made. And God blessed, not day one, sorry, all the way through, not even day, not right now, he hasn't even blessed day six. Not yet he hadn't blessed him. But this is the day the Lord hath made, as you say quite often. And he sanctified it. Because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. You're not in your place, brother. You're in the wrong place. He hadn't blessed none of this. I said he sanctified it. He set it apart.
Yes, he did. That's right.
He said, we don't do that no more.
That's right.
We don't do that no more. I cease from worrying. I cease from working. I cease from trouble. I cease from voidness. I cease from darkness. I cease from all of these other things that I called work. And I have entered into my rest. And he set it apart from everything else. Adam's got to get there. Here's Adam. He's still over here. So what did the Lord do? This is his image. This is his son. Give me. And the Lord God took the man, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. He put him in the Lord's rest. Because the Lord would meet him in peace. Right here. Right now. No, not you. You, yeah, right here. And now I want you to cease from all of that because you're with him in his day of rest. So all you that want to worry and all that, you ain't entered in. He took him and he placed him in a place of rest. Is there another verse there? And the Lord God commanded the man saying, rest. Of every tree of the garden thou may freely. I did all this. I got all the trees to come and all this, all the atmosphere is right, everything is right, and all you have to do is enter in. Was there any more verses? I don't know if I gave you another. Okay, that's it. That's good. So all you have to do is cease from this and stay with the Lord. Thank you, seven men. Eight men, whatever I got. Day seven, he blessed it. Oh, don't forget Adam, Whitman. He does bring a woman around after a while. He does. Don't worry. He'll bring some. Because that's the only time God said it wasn't good. It's not good that you be alone. So. So the Lord took the man and put him into his rest. Adam entered in to God's rest. See that you don't come up short of it. Adam was close, but he wasn't in it till God took him and brought him. He entered into what God had already created. He was the image of God. I don't think God worries about too much, do you? I don't think God worries. I don't think he's crying buckets of tears. I don't. Why? Because he's resting. And he called it, there remaineth a rest. If you're not resting, whose fault is it? It's not the trouble's fault. It's not what's going on out there's fault. It's your fault. I found fault with them because they entered not in, speaking of Israel, into their rest. What's taking you so long to get to a restful season in your life? I've seen the hand of the Lord work just recently in people's lives, and I saw them go, I won't say berserk, but I've seen them go, not knowing that this is the hand of the Lord. Not knowing that this is not where. I read a scripture that says he knows how to deliver the righteous out of all of their troubles. I'm going to rest in that scripture right there. I rest in that. I don't care how much trouble it is, there remaineth my rest. I'm going to take my rest. As they come tonight, as long as you've got him by the hand, he's not going to let your hand go. It's you It's you that decides to dwell on these things that are not restful. He said, peace belongs to them that follow peace. And so Paul, knowing that, the churches were troubled and there was chaos going through the land, and some were in jail and all these things were going on, here's Paul in jail himself. And he's writing, just, I guess, with change, and just told Timothy, bring some more paper. I'm not through writing. And he'd write, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. And then he got to about, I don't remember, it's like 1 Timothy 2 and 4 or something like that. And he said, finally, brethren, if there be any virtue, there be any knowledge, there be any truth, if there be any good report, think on these things. And you wonder why you don't have peace? What are you thinking on? I want Jesus to hold my hand. It was, see, they come up short. Now watch. Adam got out of that rest. When Adam got out of the rest of God, he went back to working. He went back to worrying. He went back to all the problems of the world when he could have had rest if he had just stayed in the garden and not eaten of the one tree. But that one thing robbed him of all of his rest. Let's sing this old song tonight before we go home. The Lord, thank the Lord. Hallelujah. God carved out a place for Adam. Out of the whole world, he puts him in a place designed to rest. Christ came and said on the cross, it is finished. My work is through, just as God said, it is finished. Christ on the cross said, it is, and he entered into his glory. You need to come to the point where you say, I'm finished worrying, I'm finished staying up at night, I'm finished. And when you really are finished, you'll leave it behind. There's an old song we used to say, bring it to the Lord and leave it there. Amen.